Today's shiur is Daf Mem Ches, and we will begin on the top of the Omer Ule'imoy L'Gzeri Shava. To quickly review what we began to discuss in the previous shiur, the Mishnah taught us that even though a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir may not become Tamei, there is one exception to the rule, a Meis Mitzvah. And the Gemara at the end of our previous shiur discussed how do we know that a Kohen Gadol may indeed become Tamei to Meis Mitzvah. And the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, regarding the Meis Mitzvah, a kol nafshis meis layavoi. And the Gemara says, it can't mean that he's not allowed to become Tamei to people who aren't related to him, for that is obvious. A Kohen Hedyot can't become Tamei to someone he's not related to. It must mean that the Pasuk's come to teach us that he's not allowed to become Tamei even to relatives. Then the Torah continues to say, La'oviv uli'imoy, la'ochiv ula'choysoy lo yitama, that he's not allowed to become Tamei to all of these relatives. And the question is, why does the Pasuk have to mention all the relatives individually? So we learned, La'oviv uli'imoy, hu de'enim etamei, that a Kohen Gadol may not become Tamei to his parents, to his father, or to his mother, but to a Meis Mitzvah, he may become Tamei. I saw a nice vart from the Sefer Shar Bas Rabin. He says, when the Torah tells us that Kohen Gadol may not become Tamei to any of the relatives, and the Torah lists the relatives, it says, La'oviv uli'imoy. Speaks about the father and then the mother. When the Torah tells us that a Kohen Hedyot may become Tamei, the Torah says, Li'imai La'aviv, mother before the father. And the obvious question is, how do we understand this inconsistency? So he says that the Torah is very, very specific. The Torah is telling us the Kohen Gadol may not become Tamei. Even a situation, La'aviv, his father passed away first. So now his mother doesn't have a husband to take care of her burial. Still tells us the Torah, Li'imai, the Kohen Gadol may not become Tamei to his mother. By the Kohen Hedyot, it's just the opposite. The Torah says, Li'imai ulaviv. The mother passed away before the father passed away. So the mother still has a husband who could take care of the burial. So maybe the Kohen Hedyot, the son, should not be involved. She has a husband. And we learned the Gemara Masechet Ksuba says that it's primarily the husband's responsibility to take care of the burial of his wife. So I would think that the son, even though he's only a Kohen Hedyot, should not get involved. Tells us the Torah, Le'imai, get Tamei to your mother, even La'aviv, if you still have a father that could take care of her burial. Every word is, and the Torah is with a cheshbon. Says the Gemara, Le'imai, the word La'aviv, that the Torah said regarding the Kohen Gadol was to teach us to his father, he doesn't become Tamei, but he becomes Tamei to Meis Mitzvah. What do we learn from the word Le'imai? L'chazer Shava the Rebbe. L'chazer Shava the Rebbe taught us. The Tanya Rebbe Omer, Gaben Nozer B'Maisam, Enim Etamei. As we learned the Gemara on Daf Mem Gimel, the Torah uses the words of Maisam regarding the Nozer to teach us that a Nazir may not expose himself to Tumas Meis, Av Matamul in the Goyim Ulzivasam. A Nazir may become Tamei, Tumas Tsaras, Tumas Ziva. Vainly Ela Ben Nazir, and as we said when we learned this Gemara in Daf Mem Gimel, most Rishonim say that not only may a Nazir expose himself to Tumas Tsaras and Tumas Ziva, he may even expose himself of a relative, but even the Tumas Tsaras and the Tumas Ziva of a non-relative, he may expose himself to. V'enli Ela B'Nazir, B'Kohen Gadol B'Nayin. How do I know that Kohen Gadol may also expose himself to that type of Tumas? Amrit, of that says the Gemara, L'Yoymer Imai B'Kohen Gadol. The Torah doesn't have to say the word Imai B'Kohen Gadol. Shein Tamalayma, it's really superfluous. Shrei Kavachaymahu, it's obvious that a Kohen Gadol may not be metame himself to his mother. Why? Because as we said at the beginning of our shiur, A Kohen Hayit certainly has more right to become Tomei than a Kohen Gadol. Even a Kohen Hayit that does have this right under certain circumstances to become Tomei, Umah im b'makom shekohen hayit mitamei la'achiv mi'aviv in, only to a brother from his father's side may he become tamei. Kohen gadol ain kohen gadol la'achiv mi'aviv ain kohen gadol mitamei. They can become tamei to his paternal brother. And pshat's like this: if a kohen hayit loses a paternal brother, sheer father, he's allowed to become Tamei. If he loses a maternal brother, the sheer mother, he's not allowed to become Tamei. How do we know this? It goes back to Gemara we learned in Masechet Yevamos. The Gemara says in Masechet Yevamos, we know we spoke at great length when we learned that Masechet about the obligation for a brother to do Yibum. But we learned that it's only paternal brothers have that obligation, not maternal brothers. Where do we learn it from? We learn it from the Shvatim. The Shvatim said, "Kanoshim achim anachnu," were brothers. The Shvatim didn't all have the same mother. Yaakov Avinu had four wives. They had the same father. So we see that brotherhood in halacha is determined by the father, not the mother. So when a Kohen Hayit may become Tamei, if he chas v'sham loses a brother, it's a paternal brother. So when a Kohen Gadol is allowed to become Tamei, it's only from the maternal side. Ain Kohen Gadol mitamei l'aviv, but still, that doesn't make it that a Kohen Gadol can become Tamei, because a Kohen Gadol can't become Tamei even to paternal relatives, even to his father. Makom she'ain Kohen Hayit mitamei. So certainly, relatives that aren't even considered relatives for a Kohen Hayit, which means lachiv mi'imai, his maternal brothers, ain oidin. So certainly a Kohen Gadol can't become Tamei to his mother. So there are two questions. One question is, the Gemara is saying that I can learn the halacha of a Kohen Gadol from a Kohen Hayit. We have a rule, ein shem enadin. We can't rely on a Kal v'chomer to teach us that somebody is going to get a punishment. So how does the Gemara attempt to say we would learn it from a Kal v'chomer? So Mepharshim answer to that question, the Gemara here doesn't really mean a Kal v'chomer. The Gemara means here to say that it would be a Gilui Milsa, to show that maternal relatives are less than paternal relatives. And this point that we're making is the answer to a different question. We're trying to prove that a Kohen Gadol may not become Tamei to his mother. What are we using as a raya that a Kohen Gadol can't become Tamei to his mother? From a Kohen Hayit not being Tamei to his maternal brother. So what are we using a maternal brother as a raya to a mother? The point of the Gemara, say to Mepharshim, is not to say that the din of a Kohen Hayit ought to apply to Kohen Gadol. The point is that we're trying to show that maternal relatives are considered less related than paternal relatives. So if a Kohen Hayit therefore only becomes Tamei to his paternal brother and not to his maternal brother, certainly the Kohen Gadol, who can't become Tamei to his father, can't become Tamei to his mother. So why does the Torah have to say li'imai, that the Kohen Hayit, that Kohen Gadol can't become Tamei to his mother? Im zechisa min adin, if we're able to figure out logically that a Kohen Gadol can't become Tamei to his mother, ma tamed loy me'imai the Kohen Gadol, so why does the Torah have to list specifically that Kohen Gadol can't become Tamei to his mother? Mufna lahokish uladin men gzeri shava, it's left open to teach us gzeri shava. Nemi ima ben nazir, the Torah uses the word ima ben nazir. Venemi ima ben Kohen Gadol, and the Torah uses the word ima ben Kohen Gadol. Ma ima ha'omer ben nazir, just like we said on the top of the Amid, by a nazir, the mice meinu matama, a nazir may not expose himself to tumas mace. He may expose himself to Tumas Ziva or Tumas Tsaras. Af imoy ha'omer b'kohen gadol, so too by kohen gadol, the moisom ene matama, he's not allowed to expose himself to the Tumas Nes, even of his closest relatives, av matama l'negoyim or l'nezivosom. He may expose himself to Tumas Ziva and Tumas Tsaras. So Rishonim and the Achroidim discuss Why would we think that a Kohen Gadol, or for that matter, a Mitzvah or a Nazir, should not be allowed to expose himself to Tumas Tzuras, or Tumas Ziva? Tumas Meis, the Torah talks about. Why would we think Tumas Ziva and Tumas Tzuras? So most Rishonim respond that since the Gemara says that a Mitzvah Choshev Kameis, the Torah views a Mitzvah like a person who passed away, and if we're saying that a Nazir, for that matter, Kohen Gadol, may not expose himself to Tumas Meis, we ought to say perhaps the same din applies to a Mitzvah. That's why we need to teach us that no, as far as Tumah is concerned, it's not the same Tumah. That's the test that, that most Mepharshim say. Oh, and they say, according to that Teretz, Ziva just as mentioned Agav Urcha for Mitzvah, but the point is Mitzvah. But the Malbim gives a Teretz that answers Ziva also. Very nice Teretz. The Malbim explains as follows. It goes back also to something that we discussed, a concept that we discussed in the previous parak. We know that in the Midbar, or in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, there were Shalosh Machnas, there were three camps. Machne Shechina, Machne Levia, and Machne Yisrael. We discussed that a Metzora may not enter any of the three Machnas. A Zov may not enter Machne Shechina, Machne Levia, and a Metame Meis is only expelled from Machne Shechina. So we would think that if a Metame Meis, who's only expelled from Machne Shechina, the Nazir, the Kohen Gadol, may not come close to, certainly the Zav, who's not only expelled from Machne Shechina, but he's also expelled from Machne Levia, the Nazir, the Kohen Gadol, may not expose himself to that Tumah. That's why we need a Pasuk, even for Ziva, and certainly for Tzaras, who's expelled from all three Machnas. The Mepharshim ask an interesting question. The basis for this question, for these questions, is that we need to understand the Havamina of a Gemara also. The Havamina of this Gemara, prior to our learning the Gzeirah Shava, was that we would think that a Mekayin is not allowed to expose himself to Tumas Tzaras. So the question is, how does a Mitzvah, what is the process of a Mitzvah? The process of a Mitzvah is that after he's declared as a Mitzvah, and now we want to see if he's no longer a Mitzvah, the Kohen Gadol comes to examine him. The Kohen comes to examine him. But if we're saying that a Kohen is not allowed to expose himself, in the Havamin of the Gemara, to a Mitzvah, how will a Kohen ever enter his home to examine him? To a Mitzvah. So to that question, the Mepharshim answer, he wouldn't examine him in his home, where there's a Tumas oil. He would only be allowed to examine him in an open area, where there's no Tumas oil, and not touch him, so he won't become Tumay. But then there's another question, also based on what we learned in the previous parak. The halach is that when Mitzvah begins his purification process, his entire body, all the hair on his body has to be shaved by a Kohen. So how, according to the Gemara and the Havamina, that a Kohen cannot expose himself to Tumas Tzaras, would he ever be able to shave him? When he shaves him, he obviously touches him. If we're saying that, if we even have a Havamina, that a Kohen can't be Metamet Tzaras. We need to understand the Havamina of the Gemara also. So I saw the Mepharshim attempt to say that the one who would shave the Mitzvah, who's a Tameh, is a Kohen who's his relative. And since he's his relative, we're learning now that just like a Kohen Hedyot can be Metama Tumas Mes to a relative, he could also be Metama Tumas Tzaras to a relative. And the only Kohen that could ever shave a Mitzvah would be a Kohen who's a close relative, that just like he's allowed to become Tumas Mes to him, can become Tumas Tzaras to him. There's obvious difficulty with this Teretz. Because what happens if this Yisrael, if a Yisrael becomes a Mitzvah, and he doesn't have a close relative, which is highly likely, doesn't have a brother he doesn't have any close relative who's a Mitzvah, who's a Kohen. So how would we understand the Havamina? Continues the Gemara. Ashkechon Kohen Gadol. So we've been able to determine, based on what we learned at the end of the previous year, that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to become Tamei to a Meis Mitzvah. However, Nazir Minolan. How do we know that a Nazir is allowed to become Tomei to Meis Mitzvah? Says the Gemara, the Tanya, because the Brisa says, Kol Yimei Hizira LaShem Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yovoy. He's not allowed to come in contact with a Nefesh Meis. Shimei Ani Afil Nefesh Behem B'mashma. So we learn Pshat in the Pasuk, even a dead animal, which is an Avela, which we learned and will learn, gives off Tumah, a Nazir may be not allowed to be Tumah to him. Kinyan Shenemar. And how do we know that the word Nefesh even applies to animals? Because the Pasuk says, Maka Nefesh Behema. Tamalaymer. That's why the Pasuk says, Al Nefesh Meis LaYavoy, B'Nefesh Adam HaKosim Medaber. The Pasuk of Nefesh Meis only refers to people who passed away, not animals who passed away. Why? So I saw that the Yismach Moshe explains. Nefesh Meis, which are words that are only used by people who pass away, not animals who pass away, represents the concept that when a person leaves the world, so his body leaves the world, but his neshama remains forever. That's a fundamental belief of Klal Yisrael. By animal, there is no such a concept. There is no concept that his neshama lives forever. And that's why the din only apply, and that's what the Pasuk is teaching us, only by humans may a Nazir not be metam himself, not by animals. Although it's interesting to note that I saw from the Shulchan Aruch Rav that animals do give off tumah when they're nevela, that we don't need the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that the Torah tells us, but he does say that if a person touches a live animal, there's also some sort of tumah, and before he says a bracha or he davens, he should wash his hands after touching a live animal. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel says there is no need to eliminate that a nazir may not become tame to a dead animal. Hareu Omer, because the pasuk says lo yavai benefashes hamatamos. The pasuk is only referring to where there's a tumas oil. There is no tumas oil by a dead animal. So it's obvious that a nazir may become tumay to a dead animal. Ask the Mefarshim. We're going to learn in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow shir in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes Omedeis that describes all the situations that a nazir is not allowed to become tumay. One of the examples is an etzim kisoira. A bone of a person, of a dead body, the size of a barley. The halach is that an etzim kesoira is not metama ba'oil. So they ask, if our Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, just taught us that the only time, the only tumah that a nazir may not expose himself to as a tumah with his tumas oil, there is no tumas oil by etzim kesoira. So why is a nazir not allowed to expose himself to an etzim kesoira? So the Mefarshim say beautiful teretz. An etzim kesoira is a small bone. And therefore the din of tumas oil doesn't apply by an etzim kesoira. But tumas oil does apply by bones. If you have the requisite amount, which we'll discuss in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, bones, there is tumas oil. By a dead animal, there's never tumas oil. So that's why the Gemara's teretz is gishmak. Tumas, a dead animal, is totally excluded from tumas oil. Bones, maybe in certain circumstances where you have a very small bone, it's excluded from tumas oil, but it's not always excluded from tumas oil. Lovel imay ena matama, and at this point the Gemara is speaking about both words, lovel imay. But as we get further into the Gemara, we'll see that the Gemara actually separates lovel imay. Lovel imay ena matama, a matama hula meis mitzvah. So this is how we know that a nazir is allowed to become tamei to meis mitzvah, again with the superfluous words of love of limay. Ask the Gemara, why do I need a limud? Why do I need a pasuk to teach me that a nazir is allowed to become tamei to meis mitzvah? I can learn it logically. Actually, Yoimer, even without words in the Pasuk, Ayeshli Bedin, we could explain logically that a Nazir is allowed to become Tamei to Meis Mitzvah. What would we say? Or Ma Kain Godla Shekedushasoi Kedushas Oilam. If a Kain whose Kedusha remains forever, it starts from birth and remains forever and is inherited by his children. The halacha, as we said at the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis, the halacha is metam lemeis mitzvah nazir she'en kedushas kedushas olam. It's not permanent. It's a man-made kedusha. Ain't a din. She metam lemeis mitzvah. So why do I need a pasuk? Says the Gemara, loy im amrit b'kayin gadol. We could use a counter argument. A kohen gadol shekein ein mevi carbon al tamasai. A kohen gadol doesn't have to bring a carbon if he becomes tamei. Taimer ben nazir shemevi carbon al tamasai. A nazir has to bring a carbon. So perhaps a nazir is a higher level of kedusha. And even though a kohen gadol is allowed to become tamei tamei smitzvah, a nazir may not. Hoyle mevi a carbon al tamasai. Since a nazir has to be bringing a carbon if he becomes tamei, perhaps to teach us of matama l'meis mitzvah. Ask the Rishonim. Our Gemara is suggesting that these sforis, that perhaps a kohen gadol is a higher level kedusha, perhaps a nazir is a higher level kedusha, are not good sforis, and that's why we need a pasuk. Ask the Gemara, of course they're great svaras. Ask the Rishonim, it's great svaras. These svaras that we just mentioned are the basis of the machloikis of Rav Elazar and Rabbanan that we discussed in the previous year in the Mishnah, that when we have a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol walking together and they counter a Meis Mitzvah, we had a machloikis who should attend to it. So we see, and these were the basis of their machloikis. So how's the Gemara discounting these svaras? So Rishonim answer, these svaras are only legitimate svaras after the Torah established that both a nazir and a kohen gadol are allowed to be metamei l'meis mitzvah. Now we could start debating, now we, Rav Elazar Chachamim, could start debating who is a higher level. But these svaras that the Gemara said first need us to have an established fact that both a nazir and a kohen gadol are allowed to be metamei l'meis mitzvah. The Mishnah that we learned is built on that fact, but we haven't established that fact at this point in the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. We're saying that the pasuk of La'avav Le'imai is extra to teach us that a nazir can't become tamei to his parents, but can become tamei to meis mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, perhaps what the pasuk means is something else altogether. Ay einai, perhaps the way to understand the pasuk is to teach us, metamei La'avav Le'imai. He may not become tamei to his parents. He could become tamei to other relatives. And what's the svara? The svara is very simple. A nazir has to concentrate on the kedusha that he obtains as a nazir. The pasuk says it. Kedushia. When a close relative, Rachmana Litzlan, passes away, and he's going to concentrate by taking care of that relative, so it takes his mind away from the Kedusha. But a person who's not that close, go to the Levaya, it's not the same. So maybe what the Torah is teaching us is, he can't become Tamei to his parents, but he can become Tamei to other relatives. Says the Gemara, Amrit Kal V'Chomer, that's not conceivable. Because a Ma'a Kohen Hedyot, if a Kohen Hedyot, that the halacha is shemetam l'kroivim. As we said, the seven close relatives a kohen hedyot may become tamei to. Still, in a metam l'shameisim, he may not become tamei to other people who are not these close relatives. Nozer she'ena metam l'kroivim, ena din shloy tam l'shameisim. So it's obvious that he doesn't become tamei to people who are close relatives. So we're back to where we started. So the words love of Limoy have no other person purpose other than to teach us. Continues the Gemara. Maybe I could still come to this halacha that a nazir is allowed to be metama to meis mitzvah even without the pasuk. Yesh libidin. I could perhaps learn it logically. Why? Because nemar klolos b'kohen gadol. The Torah says regarding a kohen gadol, a kol nafesh meis lo yavo.
Nemer klolos benozer. Kol nefesh meis lo yovi. He's not allowed to become tamei. Ma klolos amurus b'koin godl. Even though there's a hard and fast rule that a koin godl can't become tamei, the halacha is lo avvein matamei. He's not allowed to become tamei to his father. Amatamei lemeis mitzvah. I should say the same explanation of the pasuk by a nazir. Af klolos amurus b'nazir. I'll explain the pasuk in a similar manner, saying lo avvein matamei. Or, says the Gemara, could perhaps argue differently. If this was the way you want to establish this fact, says the Gemara, the Torah says that a kohen hedyot is not allowed to become tamei. The Torah says that nazir may not become tamei. But when we have a general rule by kohen hedyot that is not allowed to become tamei, still, a tamei loviv. Close relatives, he is allowed to become tamei. Af klolos hamurus benozer mitam alaviv. So we don't know who to compare it to. That's why we can't learn it logically. That's why it says the brisa laaviv liima layitama halamei smitzu mitama. Says the Gemara hamibay leilay mishay mitam alaviv. Ask the Gemara. We just finished learning that the brisa is coming to teach us that we should perhaps think that we should compare a nazir to a kohen hedyot. And just like a kohen hedyot, although typically he may not become tamei, he may become tamei to a close relative. So what does the word la'aviv mean that say don't compare the nazir to the kohen hedyot? And that even though the kohen hedyot, who can never become tamei, may become tamei to a relative, a nazir doesn't have that rule. And not only may he not become tamei to a relative, never may become tamei to a relative. How do I know that? Because the Torah said laviv. So we have a question. We're using the word laviv to teach us laviv hudeinu mitama. Am mitama l'meis mitzvah. No, I need laviv to teach me that I shouldn't compare the nazir to the kohen hedyot, and I shouldn't say that just like the kohen hedyot, even though he normally can't become tamei, he can become tamei, he may become tamei. He maybe even should become tamei to a relative. Maybe I should say the same way nazir. So the word laviv is an extra. So how can I use the word laviv, which is stated by a nazir, to teach us that he's not allowed to become tamei, that he's allowed to become tamei for meis mitzvah? I need it to teach us that the dispensation that a kohen hedyot has doesn't apply to a nazir, says the Gemara. Correct. El aviv loimer she'en matam laviv. The word laviv that the Torah uses by a nazir is coming to teach us that a nazir is not allowed to become tamei to a relative. He doesn't have the same din as a kohen hedyot. Limoy is coming to teach us l'gzer shavel the Rebbe. The gzer shavel the Rebbe taught us at the beginning of the shir that just like to teach us that just like a nazir may not expose himself to tumas meis, but he is allowed to expose himself to tumas tzaras and tumas ziva, and a kohen gadol the same. La'achiv, but the word la'achiv, I'm sorry, we skipped a line. La'achiv is the teaching us ein matama l'meis mitzvah. La'achiv ein matama halameis mitzvah matama. The word la'achiv, that the Torah tells us that the nazir is now become tamei to his relative, to his brother. Why does the Torah have to teach it to us? To teach us that he's allowed to become tamei to meis mitzvah. Lima, as we just explained, is to teach us the gzeirah shavu that Rebbe taught us at the beginning of the shir. And then the Torah says l'achosai, that a nazir can't become tamei to a sister. And the question is, why do I have to list the sister? Teaches us to l'chtanya, to teach us what we learned in the Braisa. The Tanya l'achosai my tamaloymer. Why does the Torah have to specify that a nazir may not become tamei to a sister? To teach us haresha holach lishchares peschai. Somebody is on the way to shechtes karm pesach. Ulamos benoy. Or somebody is on the way to conduct the bris milah for his son, for shamash meis lemeis, and he becomes aware that a close relative passed away. Yochol loy tamei, he should become tamei. Amrit, that's why the pasuk tells us loy tamei. And there's a gevaldig chiddush here. The chiddush here is on each one of these cases. The karban pesach, we could wait for pesach sheni. Milah, so he won't do the milah today. I'll do the milah tomorrow. And as the Rifashim explained, number one, there is no chiyuv karis if someone has a mila, even if it wasn't done on the eighth day. Moreover, the chiv karis is not on the father. The chiv karis is on the person who lived his life without a mila. So the question is gvaldik. So I would think, here he has this close relative that passed away. He should take care of the relative instead of doing the mila, instead of doing the Karban Pesach. Teaches us the pasuk ulo yitama. Do the Karban Pesach and do the mila. Why? So the answer on mila, the Rishonim explain, is since we know the mila is such an important mitzvah, it's a mitzvah shenichr so'aleo Yud Gimel Brises, the 13 times HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a band with us because of the mila, that's why it supersedes taking care of the levaya of a relative. Karban Pesach, some from Spain, since Karban Pesach and mila were the first mitzvahs that we received in Mitzrayim, that because we did those mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. And as we will learn later in our shir today, Mitzvah Hashem, these are the two mitzvahs that say that come with a chiyuv kares, that if somebody doesn't fulfill them, he's chayuv kares. They're such important mitzvahs that they supersede attending to a relative, and therefore one should continue shechting the Karban Pesach, one should continue doing the bris milah. So I would think, I would think that even if somebody's going to do a mila for a son, or somebody's going to prepare a Karban Pesach, and he encounters a meis mitzvah, he should also continue in his way and ignore the meis mitzvah. Tamaloima lachoisai. Lachoisai with the matama, he doesn't become tamay to his sister, hala meis mitzvah matama, he will be matama to meis mitzvah. So the Shagas Aryeh asks, isn't this obvious, going back to earlier in the shir, where we said that a person should take care of the meis mitzvah rather than transgressing the lav of being tamei? Of course, the essay of kfura is doicha, the loisa say of getting tamei. Answers the Shagas Aryeh that when does the kohen become tamei? When does the nazir become tamei? As soon as they touch the nifter. When are they mekayim the mitzvah kfura? Only when they bury him. So when do we say essay doicha loisa say? When the essay and the loisa say are fulfilled at the same time. Here the loisa say is transgressed, is violated before the essay is fulfilled. Even though it's a difficult pshat, because we spoke out already previously that if it takes a whole process to be mekayim and mitzvah say, the mitzvah say doesn't begin when you actually fulfill it, but everything that's needed to fulfill it is considered part of the mitzvah say. The Mefarshim ask, our Gemara is teaching us, we just finished learning this Gemara, that if a person is on the way to do a mila for a son, or bring a Karban Pesach, and one of his close relatives pass away, he should continue on his way to do the mitzvah and not intend his close relative. Ask the Paiskim, isn't this person an oinin? We know if someone's close relative passes away, he becomes an oinin. And the halacha is that an oinin is not supposed to do mitzvahs. He's part of mikol mitzvahs. So how could he do the mitzvah of mila? How could he do the mitzvah of Karban Pesach? So I saw a number of terutzim to this question. The base mayor answers that this concept that an oinin is part of mikol mitzvahs is only midrabbanan. Midaraisa, there is no such concept. We're explaining what the din is midaraisa. Midaraisa, there's no din of an oinin. That's the base meyer's teretz. The Noid of Yehuda says a very big chiddush. The Noid of Yehuda says that when is there a halacha that an oinin is part of mikol mitzvahs, those are mitzvahs that are constantly fulfilled. Davening, making brachas, constant mitzvahs. However, says the Noid of Yehuda, a mitzvah that time comes only once a year, or very infrequently, there is no halacha that an oinin is potter. Here we're talking about a Karban Pesach. A Karban Pesach is a once-a-year mitzvah. Mila is a once-in-a-lifetime mitzvah. Therefore, even though this person is an oinin, he still has to be mekayim the mitzvahs. which is a chiddush la'alocha. Let's say someone, Rachman Stone, we should never have such a shayla, becomes an oinen on Pesach. A close relative passes away in Pesach. According to the Noda Behuda, the oinen should attend the Seder and do all the mitzvahs, because these are mitzvahs that come only once a year. The Chasam Sofer, that wasn't an oinen, they were mamish tameh. They were mamish tameh, they weren't oinen. One more teretz that I saw regarding Mila from the Chasam Sofer, a pidrush. The Chasam Sofer says like this, the Gemara says, Noilad ben Zachar, the strapak of mishpacha. Let's say there's a family that's in distress, grieving. If a boy is born in that family, the family is taken care of, is cured. The strapak of mishpacha. What happened here? This person is an oinim because he lost a close relative. But he also obviously has a mila for his son. So it's in Srapakal Mishpach and he's no longer an oinim. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva Aymer. Rabbi Kiva has a different way of explaining the pasuk, of these psukim. The pasuk says, Al nefesh, elu harichoykim. That a nazir may not become tamei to people who are not close relatives. Mace comes to teach us a kroivim. That he's now allowed to become tamei even to close relatives. So the words le'ima, love of le'imai are extra to teach us love of le'imai and matama who le'meis mitzvah. Lachif, what do we learn from the word lachif? Shimhaya kain gadol v'hu nazir, that if the person is both a kain gadol and a nazir, lachif v'hu ani matama, he's not allowed to matama to even, so he has two reasons, he's both a kain gadol and a nazir, lachif v'hu ani matama, amatama who L'meis mitzvah. Ask the Mefarshim, how could a kohen gadol ever be a nazir? The halach is a kohen gadol had to take a haircut once a week. A nazir, we learned many times in Amos Sechta, is a minimum of 30 days now haircut. So how could a kohen gadol be a nazir? So the simple teretz is that this obligation for a kohen gadol to take a haircut once a week is only midrabbanan. Midraisa kohen gadol may not have hair grow more than 30 days. So it could be both, midoraisa. That's one teretz. Another teretz is as follows. The person became accepted upon himself a naziris. He's a nazir. And then, while he's a nazir, into his term of naziris, they appoint him to be kohen gadol. So that's how you can have a kohen gadol and a nazir at the same time. Then I saw that the Zeich Yitzchak asks a question. The halacha is that Kohen Gadol is never allowed to leave Yerushalayim. A meis mitzvah can never be in Yerushalayim. Because what's the definition of a meis mitzvah? A meis mitzvah is a person who's left with no one to attend him. So that can happen on the road, in the field, where there's no one. In the city of Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem, there is and there always, there should always be many people. So how could it be that a meis mitzvah is, how could it ever happen that a kohen gadol is encountering a meis mitzvah? Says the Zeich Yitzchak, that even though normally a kohen gadol may not leave Yerushalayim, but if there's an important reason, he is allowed to leave Yerushalayim. As we find, Yochanan kohen gadol went out to greet Alexander Magdan. And that's the case we're referring to, that the kohen gadol left Yerushalayim for a good reason, and he encountered a meis mitzvah. L'choisoi, what is the pasuk L'choisoi to teach us? As we just learned, K'tanya, Harei Shai Yecholich, Lishchus Peskoi, Olol Molos Benoi, that he doesn't stop for a relative, but he does stop for a meis mitzvah. Or Rekiva asked the Gemara, Gzer Shavu the Rebbe Menolei, the Gzer Shavu the Rebbe taught us to teach us that just like a nazir may expose himself to Tumas Saras and Tumas Ziva, so may Kohen Gadol. How does Rabbi Kiva learn this? Amalach, Kivin da Amamar. Imai kain godl v'nozir. Since we learned that if he's a kain godl and he nozir, to teach us, locha v'ayna matama. Av matama l'meis mitzvah, mali kain godl chudei, mali nozir kain godl. We see a kain godl and a nozir have the same din. And just like a nozir is l'adami matama himself to a tsaras and a ziva, so a kain godl. Ask the Gemara. According to Bekiva, the word la'achiv is coming to teach us that the person is both a kohen gadol and a nazir. He still may expose himself to Tumas Meis Mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel
needed the word la'achiv to teach us that a nazir may expose himself to meis mitzvah. So ask the Gemara Rabbi Shmuel, kain gadol v'u nazir minali, where will he learn that if the individual carries on himself both of these kedushas of being kain gadol and a nazir, how do we know that he's still allowed to become tamei to a meis mitzvah? Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel says, kiven the shor rachmana chad lav gabi meis mitzvah. If the Torah allows a nazir or a kain gadol to mitame meis mitzvah, even though it involves violating the lav that a nazir or kain gadol may not become tame, says Rabbi Shmuel, mali chad lav, mali trei lavin. What is the difference? If it's one lav or two lavin, it makes no difference. Ask the Mefarshim if Rabbi Shmuel is saying a very big chiddush. Rabbi Shmuel is saying that the essay of a meis mitzvah, not only is it doicha one lois essay, it's doicha the lois essay of kain gadol not being tameh, or it's doicha the lois essay of a nazir not being tameh, but even is doicha the two lois essays together. Ask the Prima Gadim, we know from throughout Shas, Essa doicha loisa say, that rule is only said when it's one essay versus one loisa say. When it's one essay versus two loisa says, that rule is not applied. Here we see that Rabbi Shmuel is applying it even when there are two loisa says versus one essay. So why shouldn't this be a source, ask the Prima Gadim, for Kala Taira Kula, that not only is an essay doicha one loisa say, but even an essay is doicha two loisa says. So the Prima Gadim says a beautiful teretz. When do we say that there's a difference if an essay is doicha one lois essay, or an essay is doicha, or not doicha two lois essays? If the two lois essays are two very different lois essays, really not connected. So there we say the essay has the power to override one lois essay, but not supersede two lois essays. But if both lois essays are very similar, as our case, they both speak about a person not being tamei, so it's really the same, and therefore the essay is doicha lois essay. Ask the Gemara, achoysa lamili. So if so, what do we need a pasuk of achoysa according to Rabbi Shmuel? And the way we need to understand the havamin is as follows. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's obvious to him that even though there's an individual who's both a kohen gadol and a nazir, so he has two lavim, the essay is doicha the two lois essays, and it should become tamei to the meis mitzvah. So if an essay has the power, asked the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shmuel, just by logic, to teach us that it overrides two lois essays, learns the Gemara and the Havamina, that one essay, even though it's an essay with kares, Pesach, or one essay, the essay of Mila, the essay of taking care of a meis mitzvah should be doicha. Why do I need the pasuk lachoisa to teach it? It should be obvious. I should be able to understand it logically. That's the Gemara's question. Achoisa lamali. Why do I need a pasuk to teach me that taking care of a meis mitzvah overrides the essay of Mila, overrides the essay of Karban Pesach? Obvious. If it overrides two lois essays, it certainly overrides these essays. Answers the Gemara. The only Isser Lav, yes, there are two Isser Lavs when you have a combination of a Kohen Gadol and Nazir, but there are only Isser Lav, Ava Mila UPesach, which we said earlier in our shir, the Kares, these are very unique mitzvahs to say. These are mitzvahs to say that if one violates or doesn't fulfill them, he's Chayiv Kares. We should say there's such strong mitzvahs to say. What's the proof that there's such strong mitzvahs to say? That if one doesn't fulfill him, he's chayiv kares. We would say that that meis mitzvah doesn't override kamash malan. And again, as we said earlier, why are these two mitzvahs to say so super special that they have a chayiv kares? Because those are the mitzvahs to say that we fulfill to take us out of Mitzrayim.